This is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show. This session shares part of the Franklin Mass Town Council meeting held on Wednesday, February 16, 2022. The meeting was conducted in a hybrid format. Members of the Town Council, town administration personnel, the police new hires, along with their guests and family members were in the council chambers. Some members of the public participated in person, some via the Zoom conference bridge, all to adhere to the social distancing requirements of this pandemic period. I've split the 3-hour and 10-minute meeting into three logical segments. First covers the opening, swearing in of the four police department new hires, and the West Street Dean College neighborhood parking discussion. That runs approximately 55 minutes. Second covers the diversity, equity, and inclusion, or DEI, presentation and discussion led by Superintendent Sarah Ahern and Assistant Superintendent Lucas Jaguer. That runs approximately 90 minutes. And third covers the subcommittee reports, legislation for action, council comments, and the meeting close, the remaining 41 minutes. The show notes contain links to the meeting agenda and to my notes. So let's listen to this segment of the Town Council meeting of February 16, 2022.
Good evening. Time being 7 o'clock, I call the February 16, 2022 meeting of the Franklin Town Council to order. Please pause for a moment of silence.
Recording in progress.
Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Announcements from the chair. Again, all citizens are now welcome to attend public board and committee meetings in person. Additionally, in an effort to maximize citizen engagement opportunities, you will be able to continue to participate remotely via phone or Zoom using the provided phone number, or you may click the Zoom link that is on the posted agenda on the town's website. Phone number is 1-929-205-6099. The Zoom ID is 829-4067-4951, and then hit the pound sign. The attached link and phone number will be active for the duration of the meeting for citizens to ask questions and or voice concerns. If residents are just interested in watching the meeting, it will also be live streamed by Franklin TV and shown on Comcast Channel 11 and Verizon Channel 29. Next item on the agenda is citizens' comments. Citizens are welcome to express their views for up to 3 minutes on a matter that is not on the agenda. The council will not engage in a dialogue or comment on a matter raised during citizens' comments. The town council will give remarks appropriate consideration and may ask the town administrator to review the matter. Is there anyone in the audience in council chambers that would like to speak on an item not on tonight's agenda? Okay, seeing no one in the audience, is there anyone out there in Zoom land that would like to speak on an item not on tonight's agenda?
It's just us and Franklin TV, so.
Nobody likes to tune in tonight. That's because all the important people are here. Okay, next item on the agenda, approval of minutes. We don't have any this evening. Proclamations and recognitions, none scheduled. Appointments. The chief is back.
Oh, that would be, Mr. Chairman.
Chief, please come forward.
Thank you, Mrs. Chan. Members of the council, through you, sir. Yes, I did say I'd be back. We have four of the five. Thank you, Steve. We have four of the five newest hires that we recently hired over the last month plus. Tonight, one could not make it with us, unfortunately. So I'm going to end up calling them up one at a time, give a little background on them. They'll remain up front. I'll explain who the individual that's going to come up and pin them later. They'll remain up. And then after the fourth one gets up, I'll invite the family members and friends to come up to do the pinning. And then our esteemed town clerk, Nancy, will ceremonially swear them in since they've already been sworn in before. So with that being said, Officer Brown. This is Officer Tyler Brabham. Tyler is a September 2019 graduate of the Fitchburg State University Academy. The Municipal Police Training Committee, Fitchburg State University Partnership, is a five-year program where students receive law enforcement-related training throughout four-plus years of instruction at the university prior to attending the Police Academy for 6 months. After 5 years, the students receive their bachelor's degree, master's degree, and Police Academy certificate of completion. In August 2019, Tyler started with the Hockington Police Department as a patrol officer. He was a member of both the traffic safety team and the community outreach team. Tyler currently resides in Blackstone. We're very pleased to have Tyler with us on the force. The Hockington PD chief and I are pretty tight. He's not very happy with me, but it is what it is. We're happy to have him. Later, I'll be calling him up, but Tyler will be pinned by his father, Craig Brown. Officer Joseph Burchell. Joe attended the third ROC Cape Cod Municipal Police Academy, graduating in May 2021 as a self-sponsored recruit by the Oak Bluffs, that's Martha's Vineyard, Police Department. Prior to attending the Police Academy, Joe worked as a corrections officer of the Dukes County Sheriff's Department and served with the Oak Bluffs Police Department as both a community service officer and a special police officer. He has an associate's degree in criminal justice and a bachelor's degree in criminal justice and homeland security, both from Dean College, and Joe currently resides in Franklin. We're happy to have Joe with us. Again, I have a near and dear in my heart for self-sponsors who put themselves through the academy where they're not being paid or anything else. Oak Bluffs, for whatever reason, didn't have a spot for him, so we were more than happy to get Joe on our staff. And later, Joe will be pinned by his uncle, good friend of mine, former Franklin police officer, Bob Burchell. Michael Demers. Officer Michael Demers is a 2013 graduate of the Reading Police Academy. Michael has worked as a patrol officer for the North Attleboro Police Department for the past 8+ years. Beyond regular patrol officer duties, Michael's responsibilities included conducting background investigations of new hires, being a field training officer, and preparing a weekly crime analysis bulletin. Michael served with the Massachusetts Army National Guard for 14 years from 2004 through 2018 in various positions such as a motor transport officer, combat engineer sergeant, and SMP officer cadet. He was deployed to Afghanistan twice as a combat engineer, tasked with clearing routes of mines and IEDs, and facilitating convoy operations. He has a bachelor's degree in business administration from Northeastern University and a master's degree in criminal justice from Bridgewater State University. Very happy to get Michael. North Attleboro PD is definitely not happy with me. I've had several individuals, all great individuals that have come over from North Attleboro, and we're very pleased that Michael chose to make us his next home, hopefully his last home, before he retires. Later, Michael will be pinned by his wife, Marissa, and his sons, Christopher and Maverick. Officer Connor Desmond. Connor pursued an interest in law enforcement while attending high school by participating in the Police Explorer post in Newton and as a seasonal intern in Milton. In 2015, Connor joined the Nantucket Police Department as a community service officer and was hired by Nantucket PD as a reserve police officer in 2016 after completing the Reserve Intermittent Police Academy at the New England Law Enforcement Training Center in Chelsea. In 2018, Nantucket enrolled Connor in the Western Mass Police Academy in Springfield, and he has been serving as a full-time police officer on the island ever since. He has a bachelor's degree in criminal justice from Westfield State University. So we're very pleased to have Connor with us. I think he's pleased to get off Nantucket Island, especially this time of year, where there's more to do. So again, glad that we were able to get Connor to transfer over to our PD. Connor will be penned by his father, Barry Desmond. So at this time, I'd like to have the families, those that are going to be doing the penning, if you would come up.
Your first and your last name after the I, okay? So I, insert your first and last name. There you go. And repeat after me. Do solemnly swear, raise your right hand. Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
To faithfully execute.
To faithfully execute.
The duties as a police officer.
The duties as a police officer.
For the town of Franklin.
For the town of Franklin.
With respect.
With respect,
integrity, and excellence.
And excellence.
And to uphold the mission of the department. And
to uphold the mission of the department.
The Constitution of the United States of America.
The Constitution of the United States of America.
The state of Massachusetts.
The state of Massachusetts.
And the laws and ordinances.
The laws and ordinances.
Of the town of Franklin.
Of the town of Franklin.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations.
Transactions. We do have two presentations and discussions. First discussion is West Street neighborhood parking. I think Chief Lynch is here. Please come forward. Jamie, do you want to do a lead-in?
Yeah, thank you, sir. Just based on the comments that came, it said some comments a couple weeks ago. The chief was here anyway. newly promoted Lieutenant Riley, who I know has been working on this, and they're going to give a little overview. I know this is an issue all of you are very aware of and have been for a few years. So, but TJ's and Chief and Lieutenant Riley are going to give a summary of where things stand and what the town's been doing over the last couple of years to help those folks on West Street. Chief?
Okay, thank you, Jamie. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for you. For the council, So I'm just gonna, I'm basically gonna do a historical background up until this past September, and then Lieutenant Riley, who runs the operations division, otherwise known as patrol, he's gonna give a you know, basically what has occurred and what we've been doing since September of this year. So as we, if most people, if they know, you know, about 2018, there was a lot of complaints from the neighborhood. And I'll define that when I say the West Street neighborhood, basically talking, you know, West Street, East Street, Church Ave, Walnut Street, Nason Street, and the portion of Union Street from Nason Street to West Central. That would be the definition when I say the West Street neighborhood. Residents had issues and concerns about increased number of vehicles parking in the neighborhood regularly. Trash removal was being an issue where they couldn't, because of the cars, they couldn't get the trash removed. Vehicle blocking driveways, snow removal, and a lack of parking spots for guests and other people if they have people come over. Some of the auxiliary issues related to the parking was, you know, noise related issues, disturbances, children's safety, and like disrespect for property, or, you know, like trash being thrown around and so forth. So the question that came up was, okay, well, let's figure out what's going on. Why was there, you know, why is there an increase in parking in the neighborhood? You know, possible reasons for the increase, as we heard from both the residents and just common knowledge, was, you know, well prior to 2018, Dean College predominantly only offered two-year degrees, associate's programs. They had a few bachelor's, but not many. And then they started to dramatically increase the number of bachelor programs they offer. So increase the programs, and now you have four years of students going there regularly. There's more students, there's more need for parking, as well as commuter parking for individuals that go back and forth and don't reside at the college. And then you've got commuter parking in general for those that might be using it and then jumping on the trains, and then residents of the neighborhood themselves, you know, parking on the street. So in July of 2018, the town council amended the bylaw pertaining to downtown parking with an emphasis on the West Street neighborhood. They expanded parking restrictions on West, Nason, Walnut, and East, added also no parking in other locations in that same area. The restricted parking was from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m., 2-hour limit. You know, signs were installed throughout the neighborhood and are abundant. And the town administrator at the time, Jeff Nunning, also authorized installation of marked strike parking spots. There were 92 spots throughout the neighborhood. And this was done in an effort to, you know, basically reduce parking in front of driveways, giving, you know, the lines were marked through the Mike Maglio, the engineer, so that people would have a place to put their trash, so it could get picked up. And at the same time, Dean College had also agreed to a couple of changes to assist with the parking problem. They ended up moving some of their staff and so forth and had them park at the library. In 2018, the police department also did the following. We conducted surveys, overnight parking, by collecting registration data. And so, for instance, between September 10th of 2018 through September 26th of 2018, on six occasions we collected data. The average number of vehicles parked overnight was 33. The average number of residents who resided in the neighborhood who were parking there overnight was 10. The average number of Franklin residents that were non-neighborhood, so we had Franklin residents parking in that neighborhood overnight but didn't live in the neighborhood, was 5. And the average number of out-of-town residents was 19. And so, you know, again, the average would be 33 cars there. So from the results, it was a combination of, you know, residents and non-residents parking on the street overnight throughout the day. We can't be 100% positive every out-of-town registered car belonged to a Dean College student, but it's highly probable. Mm-hmm. We increased parking enforcement at that time and gave out 155 citations between September of 2018 and February of 2019. We worked with Dean College to educate the students. We learned Dean students were electing to not purchase parking passes. It's $175 a semester, $350 a full year to get a parking pass at the school. So if you live there, you said this is an added fee. And Dean students with parking passes didn't want to walk from Jones lot or other lots that were far further away from that area, that corner where Beret Hall is and Adams and etc. So they were parking there. And you had a few commuter students probably also utilizing it. The town administrator and town council continued to receive resident complaints after the signage was installed and the spaces were marked in early 2019. So we approached Dean College to assist in providing a solution by offering parking closer to the dorms located on that corner at the campus center lot. And they did. They moved a lot of staff, and they moved staff, tenured faculty, and others, including commuters, and made the parking over at Dean Hall and up on Jones lot, and then had a lot of the spaces for that those individuals that live and reside in those, you know, that corner campus there, that they could park at the campus lot. So we again ended up doing surveys. I personally conducted a survey from 123 through 210 of 2019, you know, into the next year. And each day I went by and collected data morning, afternoon, sometimes both. And on the 90, of the 92 available spots, the largest number of vehicles I recorded parked in the neighborhood was 24. The operations division further collected, again, registration data for the period of 128 through 211, 2019 on 18 different occasions, weekdays, weekends, days, nights. And the average number of vehicles was 14, with the highest being 29. The average number of residents who reside in the neighborhood parking was 3. The average number of Franklin residents non-neighborhood was 4. And the average number of out-of-town residents was 8. We also did parking enforcement. We continue to conduct parking enforcement. 86 parking citations were issued from February 2019 through May 2019. And we towed 2 vehicles who were on the tow list. To get on the tow list, we can't just indiscriminately tow if they're parked in a legal spot and so forth. What it is they end up receiving 3 or more parking citations. They fail to ask for a hearing on those citations within 21 days, and they fail to pay them. Once you have 3 or more, you're on the tow list, and then we can tow the car. And so we did that twice. So we saw that the average number of vehicles in September of 2018 was reduced to an average of, 14 in January, February of 2019. And at that point, the complaints just, I didn't get any more complaints. I wasn't hearing from anybody, either from the neighborhood, myself. I wasn't hearing from the town council or from the town administration about the issue. So I assumed that it was kind of like, okay, this is what it is, and we're good. And now all of a sudden, the complaints are starting to arise again. And Jason, Lieutenant Riley, will now explain what we've done since the beginning of the fall, once the students came back to school.
Thank you, Chief. Good evening, everybody. It's a pleasure to be here. So when the Chief handed the baton this off to me, I had the opportunity to speak to a couple of residents, one on East Street, one on West Street, but I also heard from a couple of businesses on Central Street. As the Chief went over, the complaints on Mason, East and West were the things that he went over, but the complaints on East Central Street was businesses starting up, new businesses coming to town, mm-hmm. and the customers not having anywhere to park. So I think I had to look at it in a more global perspective and not only include East, West, and Church, but also Evans, Dean Ave, Main Street, East Central Street. And some of the thoughts that came up there, the preliminary thoughts in that short time, is that there's 5 different types of signs up there, which can probably be a little confusing, certainly not consistent. There's no parking signs. There's 2-hour parking signs from 8 to 2. There's 2-hour parking signs from 6 to 10. There's 2-hour parking Monday through Friday throughout the day. And then there's merchant parking only. The winter parking ban, which is kind of confusing, is not posted on any of the signs. The town has a ban, but it's not posted on the signs. And obviously storms come at all different types of hours, so it's hard to enforce that. And the other thing I noticed is that most of the Dean kids are moving their cars prior to every 2-hour violation, which makes it a little difficult because it's perfectly legal to do. If they want to come out and move their car and move it 1 spot back, that's perfectly legal. And with overnight parking, this is probably the most amazing thing I discovered, that with no overnight parking ban, a car can stay in 1 spot legally for about 19 hours because there's no overnight enforcement or anything like that. So like the Chief said, I found that the violators were predominantly Dean students. They're parking overnight closer to their dorms in the West and East Street areas, but also on the East Central Street Road because they own one of the dorms above the businesses there. Also, I found that some of the business owners are parking in front of their own stores, which would make that difficult. Some farm employees on Dean Ave, Main, Evans are all parking in front of their place of employment, And then obviously some residents are parking in front of their homes. Since the chief has passed this off to me, we have written approximately 200 citations. We have two cars on the tow list. One has been removed and those fines have been paid. We've been reaching out and spoken to teen security and asked them to reach out to the kids. We have personally, as a police department, spoken to some of the Dean kids and had conversations with them to try to educate them. We've spoken to some of the business owners to let them know what's going on. And like I said, we've spoken to some of the students to help them get out the word to their colleagues and their friends, this is what's going on. Which brings us to the suggestion part. One of the things that we would say is that we probably need a little bit more clear and consistent signage throughout the downtown. That would include no overnight parking and the laws pertaining to the parking ban. Same times for enforcement hours, maybe an increase in fines. I don't know exactly how that would work. And increase education for the stakeholders. Meet with the businesses, let them know what we're trying to do. Meet with the dean students, meet with the residents, and take that route. Parking up there, it has to coexist with three important groups. The business owners, the customers who want to go to those businesses, and the residents that live up there. All three need to find some type of harmony up there for businesses to be attracted up there and to stay up there. And everyone needs to get along. So there's not one real, say, rule that you could cast and solve this problem. Everyone's going to have to give a little and take a little. But I think it's important that we do something, especially now where businesses are coming back. The downtown is hoping to increase with pop-up stores and things like that. If these people have no place to park, if these customers can't find a place, then surely we're not going to have those businesses very well. So, thank you.
Thank you, Lieutenant. Thank you, Chief. Questions from the council? Councilor Chandler.
Three, Mr. Chairman. Hi, Chief. Thank you, Lieutenant Riley. So, from the start, what the Chief said, it's $350 to under park. Now that you're writing that many citations, do we think that might solve some of the problem? Because how much is a parking ticket?
$15.
How much?
$15.
Okay.
One of the suggestions, Officer Chandler, yes, Councilor Chandler, would be to maybe increase that fine to make it so that it's a little less, so like the car that we towed had $100 in fines. Also, the tow probably ended up being $175 in any storage, so it probably got up there. But until you tow the car, you can get a lot of tickets before it becomes economical.
So only two people have felt.
We haven't got the other car yet. We're looking at it.
Okay, so you're doing that, and you're doing everything you can do. Through you to Jane.
Sure.
There's no rep from our dean here tonight?
There's no rep from dean here that I'm aware of.
Just checking. So maybe we'll just work on the signage then. I can't come up with anything else. I'm very frustrated.
Sure. Understood, Councilor. Councilor Gillespie.
Thank you. Thanks, Chief. Thanks, Lieutenant. Overnight parking is a little bit of a concern, though. I mean, it can give me a little reach. Residents have somebody come over, a visitor, they'll be in violations if we have no overnight. We have overnight, no overnight parking too, right? And so people with small driveways, if their children come home for the holidays or something, they'll be in violation. So that's something we gotta look at too. And kind of the sticking point,
it's gonna affect everybody. There's no one answer that's gonna make everybody happy.
Yeah.
In the past, maybe, so it wouldn't affect the local businesses, a parking ban may look like 1-6, or snowman parking, things like that. But again, everyone has to coexist up in the center. That's a difficult task.
Yeah,
for sure.
Councilor Hammond.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, through the chair. Thank you, Chief and Lieutenant Ryder, for being here tonight. I like your suggestions. I mean, it's great to have some kind of solution suggested. So consistent signs, I mean, I didn't realize there were five different signs out there. So that would probably make it a little bit easier for people. Also, people don't realize that some of our parking is free on weekends and evenings. So maybe we can work on a sign that fits everything. I was going to ask about the overnight van, but I think Councilor DeLorme already asked that. The higher fee, $15, does seem to me pretty low. Is there, do we know what, I'm sure you guys know what the other fees are in other towns or?
No, I really haven't done a survey. I mean, the highest fee other than handicap parking on our citations right now, handicap parking is $125, so it's probably regulated by the state. I'm not 100% sure. Is our overnight parking, which is $25.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Chief. And so, and then you said the winter parking ban seems to be kind of confusing. Is there, is it because there's not on a sign, or is it because that people just don't know about?
The bylaw basically states that it's, you know, if snow is imminent within 12 hours to Franklin, or if we announce it, then the parking ban then becomes in effect. It's not like it used to be where it was, I think, October through April, mm-hmm. you know, that it was just no overnight parking, period, you know, to try to keep the cars off the road for snow removal, et cetera. Plus, we would tag cars in neighborhoods that, you know, with a cul-de-sac in which the person planned on, you know, using their snowblower to clean it up afterwards, right, and so forth. I don't know why it was repealed.
It was changed a bunch of years ago. Yeah.
Okay. And at some point, I think that's unfair to the person trying to park there. You don't have a clear designation of what the parking ban is or what the winter parking ban. That's a little confusing too.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And so you said there were 200 citations since
September.
So that's a lot more than before. Is that true?
What hammer?
Okay. I mean, that's what people want you to do. So.
I mean, as much as we can. I mean, yeah. You know, again, there are times when, you know, we get the minimum number of offices working. You know, you just saw the five offices that we just put on, mm-hmm. But it's been tough, you know, and we get a couple calls for service and we've only got a window between, you know, 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. You got to go by once, you got to go by again. Right. A lot of them are using their phones to take videos, and then you find that a lot of the cars have moved. You know, they did move the car. Okay. It's still parked there, but they moved the car. Mm-hmm. So it's difficult at best, but to get 200 citations in that span of time, the officers know it's a priority and they're doing a fantastic job enforcing it.
Great. That's wonderful. Thank you for that information. It was really good to know. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councilor Hamblin. Councilor Frangillo.
Thank you. This is great info. Through you, I might have missed it. What is legal for parking? Are we have 2 hours between certain hours and then no overnight? Or
There's not an overnight parking restriction right now, other than when it might snow.
We declare a parking ban
due to snow. So anybody can park overnight, and the restriction in this neighborhood, and mostly throughout the center business district, as we call it, is 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. for no more than 2 hours. And so as Lieutenant Riley mentioned, if you bury your car, because we don't have an overnight parking ban, you could basically park your car at 12:15 and not have to move it again until 9:45 in the morning the next day. And you'd only have to move it once and you wouldn't receive a citation. You could park there for almost 19 hours. It's the parking, restricted parking ban, I believe, and correct me for anybody that was here, was to prevent people from parking their cars in areas of town, downtown, so that, and then jumping on the T and going into Boston.
Exactly.
And so that's what it was really made for, not for preventing people from potentially excessively parking or overnight parking in a neighborhood or something like that. So we're starting to see, as Lieutenant Riley talked, like, you know, where East Coast Driving is, and I apologize, the new name of the establishment that took over the Cake Bar. Thank you. They're parking right in front of there. The students that I believe live above, you know, there's parking in the back, but again, I don't know if like there's enough parking in the back for all the students, and some of them might have a spot in Jones' lot, but they don't want to walk in the cold from Jones' lot down there. And so they're potentially leaving their car there. Or anybody could, for that matter. You can just park your car there. and just make sure you get it out in the morning. But they're not. And why, are we tagging them too? Yeah, they're including the 200 citations as well.
So, if I may, you know, I think that this problem will only get worse. As we're doing a downtown rezoning, there's a push to continue to view our downtown especially as a walkable neighborhood, as a transit-oriented neighborhood that doesn't rely on individual car ownership. I think means a little more intensification of some buildings, means a little less off-street parking, typically. And so I'm worried that, you know, if we continue with our current parking laws, then it'll only get worse. The part, so if I could add possibly to some of the suggestions, because I hear signage, we've talked about signage at a bigger scale. I hear increased fines, you know, to make sure that we do have power when we're enforcing. Eventually, you know, there's going to be a need to look at our own municipal lots, right? If we're not providing, if we're not saying that each new building has to have parking, then there is going to come a time where the municipality will have to continue to provide parking. But the other is, like you said, these are more residents, you know, people who live there, dean students, or other residents who are looking to have a car, and there's only so much space, and there's only so many parking spots, and so if we want to prioritize residents, we don't. Not everyone gets a right to, you know, use a limited resource, and so we might have to look at a residential parking pass or some sort of other system that says, hey, you know, you can park here during these types of hours if you're a resident for a fee, and because we're limited in the amount of resources that we have for parking. I think that there's increased need for us as a council to examine our parking policies, especially in town.
Thank you, Councilor Fondello. Well said.
Yeah.
Councilor Sherman.
Yeah, the residential pass, we talked about that back in 2018. Mm-hmm. What was the issue with that?
It's a lot of logistical, you know, overhead and all that to be able to do it. You know, people have to come down, they have to prove that they're a resident, this and that. Everybody that moves, new people when they move in, they have to come down and get a pass, etc. And then the question becomes if it ends up being something that's just why, you know, all throughout town and everything else. It would just be a lot of work on whoever it is that's going to do that. You know, most likely the police.
Yeah, right. I'm just curious, how do you know where the people are from? Do you check the license plate?
We run the registration.
Oh, right. Okay.
That's the only way we can do it, is to basically pull up the registrations and get the data off of that.
And right now, is it parking on the weekends, or is that exempted?
Exempted. Monday through Friday, I'm sorry.
Right.
The 8 to 2 is Monday through Friday.
So in theory, someone who parked the car there for 48 hours, right? They'd park at 2 o'clock and not pick it up until Monday morning. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which adds to the chief's point that you could legally park your car at, say, 12:55 on Friday afternoon and not pick it up until Monday morning.
Right.
Around 8 or 10 o'clock.
And not violate any.
And not violate any laws.
Okay. Yeah. Councilor Cormier-Ledger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for the presentation. I would be in support of at least looking into the suggestion of a resident parking decal, even if it's restricted to a certain neighborhood. It has proven to work in many congested communities around the Commonwealth, especially those that have universities and colleges. But my question to you gentlemen, how many complaints have you received from residents? Because the folks that were here 2 weeks ago made it sound like, you know, we've been calling, and nobody comes out. But I want you guys to answer that, because I feel like that's probably not accurate.
So I've spoken to two very nice people in the neighborhood, and I've received one complaint from a business on East Central Street. My understanding is that there was a petition that went around, but I haven't heard from them. So two residents in that neighborhood.
Okay. And from what I understand, and this would have to be confirmed with Dean, but the large lot outside their dormitory on Emmons, when I went by there, it says faculty only. not student parking. So you have a large dormitory building that the kids aren't allowed to park outside that building anyway. So that might be just something to talk about with the folks at Dean, that maybe if the kids that are living in that building had access to closer parking, they wouldn't feel the need to park in the surrounding streets. Just a suggestion, but it seems a little weird to me, you know, especially if I had a college student going there, that, you know, my daughter would need to walk, you know, half a mile at night instead of being right outside her dormitory, right? Just as an example. So, but that's not really our problem. That's more a question for the college, but I do think it could alleviate some of the stress that we're talking about here. So, thank you.
Thank you. Councilor Pellegrini?
I know it's a big problem. Yeah. It's a big problem. And we're not going to have the answers for it, you know, just like that. I think in my head myself, a parking, permit parking only with the residents that live on the streets that they're having problems with. Could we do something like that, residents only?
The town council, you probably do whatever you want. As long as Mark says it's good, and it's legal.
Is that going to help the situation? Resident parking?
It would for them, but then we're going to push those people off to somewhere else, and we're going to be back here in 6 months.
But they don't want to go that far away. And I think this is not our problem. It's Dean College's problem. They're the ones that are going to have to do something for a parking area that for students, transient students, you know, day-to-day parking. They've got to find a spot for these people to park in. We've got to take care of the residents. That's our responsibility as councilors here. Either no parking or resident parking only. And as far as for uptown, I've spoken to you before, the businesses are parking in the front of their stores. And that is a terrible thing to be happening. Because now they're saying, our customers don't have a place to park. No, they don't. But that's because you're taking up the spaces in the front. And something has to be done to that, with that, too. Although we know that the bylaws say that buildings uptown, they don't have to show parking spots for their businesses, which years ago, I guess it was fine. People didn't have 230 cars in their household. But now they do. We have a problem with them parking uptown and staying in the front. I mean, look at Dean Bank. They were very smart with what they did. They bought a house, tore it down, and they have parking there for their people now. That's great. Dean might have to do that with some of their property. Get some spaces that these people can park in and not bother our residents. My last thing is just parking meters. Maybe we have to go back to parking meters. To curb, you know, people staying there all day long, people going on the train and parking out there. I mean, we used to have the meter woman on hand and would check those things out. We don't have one now. These cars are there all day long and they shouldn't be. So that's something to look into. And the business owners are parking all day long. So other than the no parking, permit parking only, and parking meters, I think, might be the solution, but I don't know for sure
what
the people are the experts in that. Thank you,
Councilor
Pellegrini.
Councilor Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Honestly, just a couple of quick comments. One is, I'd like to make a suggestion to the council to put forth to the EDC chair that we take this down to the EDC level to discuss further options. That is to put that on our agenda for the EDC to field ideas from the police department and come up with some citizens and residents input as well as business input as well. I think we also need to have some businesses in part of this situation. I think we actually need to literally sit down with several business owners, maybe touch base with Franklin Downtown Partnership, and see if we can't have a chat with business owners to say, listen, you're parking in front of your own business. you're taking up your customers' parking spaces, and you're pushing other people down the street into the residential neighborhood. So we need to have this discussion with them so that we can come up with the best solution forward. I think fielding the lieutenant's comments on fixing the signage, those are obvious things that we need to remedy, that we can bring down to subcommittees and hash out. We should be able to get back within a reasonable amount of time to come a solution, maybe by experiment.
Thank you, Councilor Jones. Something quick, Councilor Dolan?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. The only thing, maybe this is maybe it's for the EDC. If you're going to do the residence parking, which I don't have a problem with, but just don't do it for that neighborhood. You're going to have to do it for, you're going to have to do it for Dean, you're going to have to do it for School Street, because they're just going to move. So the residence parking is going to, you're going to have to do it, you're going to have to do a big area if you're going to do it, because it, we'll just be back here in a few months with the people from Hillside. Just a point.
Yeah.
Because my son lives in South Boston, and sometimes he's back in China.
I saw his car over there.
Yes.
Okay, thank you, Councilor DeLocco. I guess just a couple of quick points from me. I guess there's one little piece here that I'm having a little trouble getting my arms around, is that every time this has been checked, there are 92 spots, but there's only 33 being used. So that means everybody's trying to park in the same 25 spots or 30 spots that are the closest to where they can get. So it's not an overall parking issue, because we do have enough spots there. They're not all being utilized. I'm a little concerned about a residence pass, only because these residents have family that come home. And they come home for the weekend, or they come home for the night. And do we take it then too? How do you differentiate that? I agree with Councilor Jones. I think this is something that we need to challenge. What I'd like to do is to get the administration to work with the police department and come up with some recommendations through EDC coming back to the council for a final disposition. Everybody kind of agree with that? Now, we are in discussions. Is there anyone in the audience? I was sure there was.
You had to know I had something to say, right? I'm actually speaking on behalf of Pam, because she's not very comfortable with the public speaking, and I've been doing quite well lately.
Really?
Just a couple of quick questions, and then I want to just make a quick statement. As far as the tickets...
Name and address, Jane.
Oh, sorry. I thought I was... Jane Calloway, 607 Maple Street. With the tickets, increasing the dollar amount is good, but is there a way, and I don't know the law, so that's why I'm asking, car A gets a ticket for $15. 2 days later, car A gets another ticket. Well, he's already got one, or she, so now we're going to make it $30 and increase the ticket for every time they do it. And by the third or fourth time, they're eligible for towing. The snow ban with no parking on the roads when there's snow, there's off-street parking, no on-street parking. I thought that was an automatic tow if someone was parked on the side of the road when you're not supposed to during a snowstorm. If that's the case, then those cars should be automatically towed. Dean does have plenty of parking for their students. The problem is their students don't want to walk. It's not a matter of them parking on West Street, as an example, because they just got back from the laundromat and they're lugging up a hamper, and then they're going to go park in their parking lot. They're parking there because they just don't want to walk, and that's the problem. And Dean does have to take some responsibility for this. And I get you can't restrict residents and students and all this other stuff, but at some point in time, if student A has gotten multiple tickets and towing, Dean can revoke the right to have a car on campus, period, because schools do it all the time. But that will mean that somebody, a dean, actually needs to care about the town that they are in. As far as the overnight parking, you could probably do no overnight parking, but for residents on those streets, they could get something that they can put in the window of their car if they have a relative coming over, and it can be emailed to them. They just show proof of residence. They can put it in their family's car, and if a cop comes by and it's in the window, that car doesn't get ticketed. Dean students are not, as far as I'm concerned, residents of this town permanently, because they are only here for school. They are not paying taxes. They are not worrying about what happens in the town. They come, they get their education, they do their thing, and then they go back home. And in kind of in case of point of what Councilor Frangello said, this is why I argued the lowering the parking limit for all the new buildings coming in, because not making these buildings supply ample parking for their tenants, this problem is only going to get worse, because those people are actually going to take up all of the public parking lots and spots that are in the town that are meant for us to be able to use to go to the stores or to go shopping. And to charge a resident a parking pass is unacceptable when we're already paying taxes and we should be allowed to park there. If anyone's going to pay, it should be the dean students. But there is ways to do this, but it is going to take dean getting involved. Thank you.
Thank you, Jane. Is there anyone else in the audience, please? Just name an address, please.
Gary McIntosh, East Street. I'm wearing the mask because people say I look better with it on. I'm not sure how I feel about that. But the one thing that came up tonight, and I didn't know how much the ticket was, $15 isn't enough pain, in my opinion. That's two fast food takeouts, right? I mean, if it was a $50 ticket, they probably would think twice about doing that more than once, but $15, I did a quick calculation on my calculator, thank God my iPhone has one. If the dean students don't pay for parking, so let's say $350, they don't pay that privilege, they'd have to get 23 parking tickets at $15 a whack to make up $350. If it was a $50 parking ticket, they have to think twice. I bet one car isn't getting 20 parking tickets. So they're making out if they're not paying the $350. So I don't really care whether it's a dean student or a doctor or somebody on the MBTA. It's illegal parking. And so I think if the pain is significant enough, then whether it's somebody riding the T or new businesses coming in or whatever, they're not going to park there many times if they have to pay a $50 ticket. Or $15 just seems, it's like I say, I wasn't aware it was that cheap, and that's not enough of an incentive to correct behavior, and that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to modify their behavior, right? $15 isn't painful enough to modify the behavior, at least in my opinion. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Gary. Is there anyone else in the audience? Again, name and address, please.
Rachel Lucas, 3780 Bridge Road. So a very different part of town. It's not, the parking there is never a problem. But in going downtown and reflecting on something that Councilor Frangello brought up at a previous meeting, I'd ask that the council consider and reflect maybe with the police department about how the sidewalks aren't necessarily cleared well enough. And I can understand shoppers and residents and students that are more willing to park in the front if they have to trudge through the snow to get where they're going. I think that might kind of really be related here after this previous storm. I was looking and wondering, okay, so what does it actually look like? And it was ugly. It was ugly out there for a while on the sidewalks, and I'd ask that maybe that conversation be included. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else in the audience? Is there anyone out there in Zoom land? Jamie, you had your hand up twice and I shut you down twice. So what would you like to add?
I could not agree with Mr. McIntosh. Dean College has more than enough parking. This is a Dean College problem. When you charge $350 for parking for a year and you're only hitting at $15 a ticket if you get caught, That's 15 bucks. That's $285 you have on other spending. It's the walking issue is certainly an issue. I think every American is like that. I don't think anybody wants to walk a lot further than they have to. This is also part of the issue downtown. People don't want to really walk too far. They just want to park right in front of the store. I'm not saying that increasing the penalties is the way to go necessarily. We'll take it to the EDC as you suggested. But I really truly believe, as you articulated, Mr. Chairman, there's 92 spots. The residents provided photos with no pictures with no cars anywhere. I've driven down there a lot. We all have. We know there's plenty of parking. There's more than enough parking for everybody. It's just the simple reality that it's just cheaper to attempt to skirt the rules, park where you want. College kids are crafty. They have other ideas about how they want to spend money. And I think that it's just a simple fact of economics more than it is just anything else. I think there's more than enough parking for every citizen, resident, family member, Dean College student to be happy. We just have to kind of find a way to get them in the right place. And I think Mr. McIntosh's idea and what he's talked about hit the nail on the head. Thank you.
Thank you, Jamie. Okay, Chief, Lieutenant, thank you very much. Jamie, you have some driving orders.
Not parking.
Not parking. If you're going to park, park in the building, please.
Thank you. We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.